12. I'll read verses 1 through verse number 8 in Romans chapter 12 and continue upon the series, The Doctrine of Soteriology. We'll have maybe one more or two more messages, I'm not for sure, on this, and then try to one of these days this winter time to get it in book form, have it available in CDs and tapes as well if anybody wants to go back over it. And so you pray the Lord would use that and reach out. It'd be on the website, of course, as far as the book form. And pray the Lord will just use it for His honor and His glory. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 through verse number 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You may be seated tonight. As we said, we're dealing with the doctrine of soteriology. And that just simply means another word for salvation, but it's talking about the study of the spiritual health of mankind. We said it deals with the study of doctrine of soteriology deals with the fall of man, and we've studied about that. It also deals with the means and the actions of God delivering man from the fall, and of course that's God's redemptive plan for fallen man. And as we begin that, we said, first of all, that's God's work for man. That's when Jesus came robed in flesh through a virgin's womb to die on the cross of Calvary that we might have life. That's His work for man. And then also we begin to deal with with God's work in man, and that must be worked in each individual. I've said three things that has to happen in every individual. See, some people believe that Jesus died on the cross, and that's good enough for them. I want to tell you, He died for all mankind, if man will come God's way. But there must be an actuality or a reality of that work in their hearts got to be done. And it's just because He's died on the cross don't mean it's finished. I know Jesus said it's finished. There's nothing else to add to it or take away from it. But He also has a plan, if you please. And I know the word plan sometimes has been misused in the doctrines of salvation, but He had a plan, and the only way anybody's ever going to come to the Lord Jesus for salvation is that the Holy Spirit draws that individual and does His sanctification work of spirit, which is the setting apart work of the Holy Ghost, conviction, which involves, of course, Him moving in our darkness and then working reproval, which is another word, in a sense, for Holy Ghost conviction. He empowers the gospel as it's preached to us so that it reaches down into the heart, lets us know that something's wrong. He grants repentance. He grants faith so you can obey the gospel. He calls you with an effectual call. He enables you to obey the gospel. Then He quickens our dead spirit. He justifies us. That means we'll be as though we had never sinned. And He sheds love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He places us in the Lord's body. That's forming body. We'll be called out at the rapture and be called a church of the firstborn in Hebrews chapter 12. He also indwells every believer. He seals every believer. He gives assurance. He teaches us. In other words, the Bible says He teaches us. Even before you're saved, He teaches you what you need to know that you might be saved. Somebody said, God don't show a lost person anything. That's ignorance, amen, because God does show you some things. But those who are saying that are depending on what they've been showed for their assurance of salvation, and the assurance comes from the gospel. He said, our gospel came not in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. But yet, He teaches us because He sets up a classroom in your heart. He's the teacher. You don't need anyone else to teach you. He's the teacher. And Psalm 25:8 says He'll teach sinners in the way. That's a narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And so you need to let the Lord teach you as He brings you to Himself, that you might be saved. And so, He also, we said last week as we talked about this, that He comforts you. Now, He comforts you in all our tribulations, all of our persecution. And the Lord doesn't comfort us to make us comfortable. He comforts us to make us comforters, so that we can reach out and help others. Because of what we've been through, then we'll be able to say, let me tell you how God brought me through this, and He'll bring you through this as well. So He does that in every individual that He saved. He also produces fruit. And that fruit, of course, is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Ninefold fruit of the Spirit that's in every believer in some form or fashion. In other words, and He says, by your fruit, you're known. And that's what He's done in us. He does that in us. Now, let's go a little further tonight and say, what does the Lord do in man, in fallen man? What does He do when He saves him, or at least in man, I guess we could say? He gives gifts. He gives gifts. You ever heard somebody say, well, that person is gifted? And they may be saved, and they may not be saved, but they are gifted. Every person in here has some gifts of some sort. Sometimes you're still trying to find yours. That's what somebody said. Well, I'm trying to find mine. Well, I tell some of them I'm a jack of all trades and master of none. Amen? But the thing about it, somebody said something about doing something else, learning that. I don't want to learn nothing else. I've got too much on my plate right now. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it, it's God's grace that's gifted all of us. Amen? And it don't matter who you are, you've got gifts. Don't put yourself down because you don't feel like you reach up to what somebody else is. God's given you gifts. Every man has been given gifts. In other words, there's a common thinking that when one is saved, that's when they're given gifts by the Holy Spirit. But that's a false thinking. That's not true. You see, gifts are present from birth and just need to be stirred by the Holy Ghost if they're going to be used for God's glory. In other words, man, before he's even saved, uses the gift that God gives him for the furtherance of his cause. I'm talking about his own cause, if you please. But as we think about gifts, they're given, the Bible says, to every man. It's not just mentioned once. If it was, it'd be enough. But it's mentioned more than once. 1 Corinthians 12:7, he said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And that's not just to say. God's given gifts to every man. 1 Corinthians 12:11, he said, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us, did you hear that, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So it's not just the saints that has been gifted. It's every man receives gifts. In other words, that's God's work in fallen man, as He's working in all of us. Now, I ask you this, do not our politicians have the gift of speaking? We call it sometimes the gift of gab. But do they now not have that? Sure they do. They have the gift of speaking, and they have the gift of persuading men. Because somebody voted for all of them, amen? So they do persuade. They've got gifts. Do not men of the world have gifts to build large buildings? They built the Empire State Building. Somebody did. I wouldn't want to attempt it, amen? That sway of about 14 foot, as I've heard. I don't know if that's right or not, but it does give about. I don't want to even be in it. I like flat country and no level ground, amen? Or at least not too high where you can jump, but not out of the Empire State. But they've been given gifts to build magnificent buildings from the world viewpoint. Do not men of the world have gifts to organize, to edify, in other words, others, and on we could go of men of the world who have gifts that are not even saved, don't even want God, accused to be, profess to be atheists, amen? And still, they've got gifts to persuade men, if you please. And well, you'd say, well, what would we answer about that? Do not men of this world have these gifts? And to that, we would have to answer definitely so with a big yes. Now, where do these gifts come from? I won't tell you where they come from. They come from God. Amen? When they were born, God placed it inside them. Some people may want to say, well, that's the genes lining up, and that's the chromosomes and all that stuff. I don't care what it is that God made all that. Amen? It's still from God. And don't care what the doctors and all the medical profession speaks about it. Those gifts came from God, or the Holy Spirit, in other words, who is God. And therefore, we need to realize every man has gifts. Bible said in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And so therefore you've got gifts. Now, you think about Paul, for instance, and in Galatians 1:15, it says here, he said about Paul, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by my grace." And so therefore, God gifted Paul. He had gifts before he was even saved on the street called straight. And he used the gifts that God had to really hinder the work of God, to destroy the work of God. But yet there come a time when God got his attention, worked the work of reproval in his heart, brought him to the end of himself, and he counted the cost after 3 days laying on the street called straight. And when he was saved, he used those gifts for the cause of Christ. In fact, in other words, they were made known in his life. They became, in other words, even though God said he separated him from his mother's womb, Paul said that later. He didn't know that at that time. You were separated from your mother's womb to be used of God in the capacity that you may not even know yet to what extent it is. But God does, and he'll make it reality in your life when that time comes, when it needs to come. And that's what you need to look for. Look for him. That's all you need to do. Don't worry about what can I do, what should I do in this thing. Just do what you know to do at the time, and realize, use your gift. Sure, but you can use them wherever. You just use them on the job. You say, well, that's not using them for God's glory. Listen, dedicate your job to the gospel of Christ, and therefore the cause of Christ, and you're not working for those people out there of the world. You're working for the Lord, and on Friday you don't get your paycheck from them, even though they may be the one that signs it. You still, the Lord's the one supplying your need. Amen. And God gave you that gift. He gave you that ability to do that job, and he wants you to use it for God's glory. And when God reaches down and saves you and puts that touch on you, you'll say, hey, now I know how he put all those things together in my life. I look back in my life and I see how God ordered my life. Amen. How he ordered it. And I don't understand that, but he ordered it. And even though you don't think that your life has been ordered, it has been ordered by God. Amen. It's from him. And so therefore, you need to realize that he's the one who does that. He's the one who gives gifts, even from your birth. Now, there's an example of Jeremiah. I talked about something about him. Jeremiah 1:5, he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." He said, before you was ever even come into this world, I already had a mark upon you. I ordained you to be a prophet to these nations. Now, Jeremiah didn't know that when he was born. He didn't come forth from the womb and say, hey, God's called me to preach the gospel to the nation of Israel, to be a prophet. No, he didn't know that. But there come a time somewhere in his life that God made it a reality to him. So therefore, he'll do that for you. But there had to be that time. That's just like whenever I told you before, one time walking down the street, I remember it very well. And we was asking people about, are they saved? And that was, we were making a survey of the town over in McKenzie. And I remember walking down Paris Avenue, was the name of the avenue. Remember, out in a pretty good-sized house, out a man standing out beside his house, and I went up to him, and I said, you saved? And he said, yes. And I don't know why I said, when? I hadn't been asking that question, but I said, when? And he said, 2,000 years ago, 3 o'clock one afternoon. And boy, it took me a little bit by surprise, because I had to think, what's he saying? And then I even realized what he was saying. He was saying, Jesus died for my sins that day. Well, that's true. He died for your sins that day. But I don't tell you, there's got to be a time where there's got to be a route. You've got to be aroused, and you've got to be awakened, and you've got to be apprehended by the Holy Ghost. And it's going to be a reality in your life when that comes to pass. It's going to be an experience. It's not going to be... Now, if you're just looking for an experience, the devil will give you one. Amen. But I don't tell you what, you'll have an experience that agree with the Word of God, the plumb line, if you please. And he'll bring you to that place, but yet and still, even though he put those gifts inside you, before you was ever born, he'll come a time that you'll realize, that's why God made me the way he did. I've got a purpose in life for his glory, in other words. And so therefore, I can rest my case. Gifts are given to every man at birth, and are stirred up by the Holy Spirit to be used for the Lord when one is saved. And I believe that happens throughout the book. Now, another thing about these gifts that you've been given, they're without repentance. The Bible said in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means that God will not change his mind no matter how men use their gifts. In other words, if the gift he bestows are immutable and unalterable. You cannot be changed. That word immutable means without change. Even if a man disqualifies himself, in the case of a preacher, from the ministry by divorce and remarriage, that does not change the fact that he was gifted to preach the gospel. Amen. And so, therefore, it's without repentance. Gifts are. And then gifts are of different kinds of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4 said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. All of them comes from the same Spirit. All of them from the same God. And Paul used a man's human body. The human body is an illustration. In 1 Corinthians 12:14-17, he said, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling?" I mean, God made our bodies, and we don't have our ears, don't fight with our nose. Amen. I hope they don't. Amen. You see, God made one for smelling and one for hearing, and the nose is not jealous of the ear, even though the nose said, "I can't hear," but the ear says, "I can hear, but I can't smell." Amen. I know that's elementary, but you realize God's the one who gives the gifts severally as He wills. In other words, they're different kinds, and God's got a purpose for all of them, and He puts it together like you need your body. I mean, everything. Somebody said, "Well, I don't need my little toe." I've heard if you cut off your little toe, you've got to learn to walk again sometimes just because you lose your balance, especially your big toe. Amen. I don't want to try it. Amen. But the thing about it is, you realize somebody said, "Well, you don't even need your appendix." Well, God put it in there for a purpose, and now they found out that it's all can for the intestines. Amen. And it helps you out in life. And so they don't take it out as much as they used to. Used to, if they ever opened you up for anything, and they may still do it in some states, I don't know. But they take it out because it give you trouble. They still do it, but anyway, I don't know. But it's got a purpose. Don't take anything out unless you have to, amen? Keep all of it. You're going to need it somewhere down the road, amen? And so as a result, I know that times, but what I'm saying, God uses the body. And the body works together. I mean, the smelling, the hearing, the hands, the feet, and all. It works together. And when God places you in the body, and He puts you in the body, He said, when He saves you in the body of Christ, and He gives you gifts so that the body of Christ can function. And I believe He not only does that as far as the Lord's body is concerning, being called out one day, be a complete called out. I believe He does that in local visible bodies, the local New Testament church. He places people there who work together. Amen? Who work together. Brother Don, the other day, he said something to me. He said, "Y'all got anybody down there that can work on air conditioner? We need to pray. We ain't got an air conditioner, man." Amen. I think we need one. Amen. But God knows what we need. What I'm saying, you know, we've got a little of this and a little of that and a little of everything else. But and I'm thankful. Amen. We're diversified in that. It's been a blessing. It really has. And so we just don't have an air conditioned man. And somebody said, "I don't want to learn it." I understand. But we know enough about it to get us in trouble sometimes. That's about the way I am. But what I'm saying is we don't have that here. But God knows what we need, and He puts it in the local New Testament church. He gifts the individuals at that even before a person is saved. Those are there. And so He uses that. And in we read in our text verse today, and of course, I read it more than just what I'll deal with right now. But in verses 4 through 6, listen to what He said of Romans chapter 12. He said, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." And then He lists some of the gifts that's given. And so, therefore, we're many members, and we're diverse, but it's according to grace. Undeserved, yet equally given to us. In other words, it's equally honorable because they're bestowed by the same Spirit, they're administered under the same Lord, and they're energized by the same God. In other words, it involves the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as well. And the different kinds of gifts are given according to the wise God who knows best. You've heard the expression before, "Father knows best." Well, He does know best. Amen. He's the one that we need to look to. 1 Corinthians 12:11. I've read this in one way when He said, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man." But now listen to what the last part of that verse says, "Severally as He wills." In other words, as He will. In other words, it's His will. Whatever His will is what He gives you. In other words, if he wants you to have a certain gift of prophecy or of teaching or giving or mercy, as some of these listed here, ministry and those type things, God knows what you need. He knows, and he'll put in you the capability of doing that. I'm amazed at Moses. You know, when Moses was out there at the backside of the desert, and God spoke to him, he said, I want you to go out there, and I want you to lead my people out. And you know what Moses said? Moses said, Lord, you know I can't speak well. I just can't talk well. I get on my feet and I can't think and I can't talk at the same time. You know, somebody says can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Well, he says I can't really speak, really. But you know, if you'll read what the Bible said in the book of Acts, chapter 7, that Moses was taught in all the well schools of Egypt. He was an orator. Is that the word you use? He was a good speaker, according to the Bible said. But see, he was just hesitating to do what God had called him to do. And so God said, I'll give you a mouthpiece. I'll give you Aaron. And you know, Aaron caused Moses a whole lot of problem during those next 40 years. Because if Moses had done what God wanted him to, he wouldn't have had Aaron by his side to be his mouthpiece. You say, well, that was all God's plan. Well, God knew what Moses was going to do. And he did give him Aaron. But sometimes God will give you what you want, and you wished you hadn't had it after you got it. You understand? You say, why didn't I do that by myself? Well, the thing about it is, God gives severally as He will. First Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Talking about the physical body that He uses in application. First of all, as it hath pleased Him. So God made a nose to smell and ear to hear. God made the eyes to see. And in a sense of placing in the body, He puts every person's gifted in as it pleased Him. And we're not to question, why, Lord, did You make me this way? I can't do what this person does. I can't. Listen, you are an individual. God wants you to be yourself. And let Him exercise in you those gifts and excel in that area and continue on. And they're given, all these gifts that God puts inside of man are given to profit. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, that seems like that God's Spirit showing Himself to you is to profit withal, and that does help you profit withal. But the Greek construction here is referring not to the manifestation of the gift, but the manifestation of the Lord, which is done by the Holy Spirit speaking of Him. The Bible said in John 16:13, Jesus said when He was about to leave out, He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And He also said this in verse 13 then, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He'll show you things to come. He said the Holy Spirit's not going to talk about Himself, not going to brag on Himself, but He's going to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll show you things to come. He'll guide you into all truth. We've got a lot of people today in denominations, they're bragging about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Well, it's all right to talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. That's one and the same, the Spirit of truth. But folks, I want to tell you, He never looks to Himself. He never points men to Himself. He points men to Jesus. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I know Romans chapter 8, verse 9 said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. But the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit, but He'll teach you about Jesus. And say, it's Him. It's Him. It'll be like the type over in the book of Genesis, whenever Abraham sent Eliezer, his servant, down to get a bride for Isaac. And when he got down there, Eliezer was a type of the Holy Spirit. He never one time said, look what I've got in my hands. He had gold and silver and camels and things and probably clothing and whatnot, gifts from the master back home. He never pointed Rebecca to Himself, but He always said, let me tell you, this is just a little bit of a whole lot more to come when you get back over there. And she said, I'll go with this man. That's what it amounts to. But He never did speak about Himself. And the Holy Ghost don't talk about Himself. He points you to Jesus. He points you to Jesus. He'll point you to Jesus. It's in Him is life. Amen. And so they're given to profit withal. You see, the Lord's the light. It's not the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost is inside. Somebody said, well, how is it the Holy Ghost lives inside you? And then it talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is in you. Well, how do you differentiate? I can't. Amen. But he said it's the Spirit of Christ, who is the Lord Jesus, lives in you. He's in there. God the Father's in there, and God the Holy Spirit's in there. But they're pointing you to the central figure, who's the Lord Jesus. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He's light. And the Bible says this about us. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, how can your light shine when you really don't have any light of your own? You see, by allowing the gifts that the Holy Spirit placed inside you, let Him energize them and operate those gifts in your life for His glory, and that will cause the church to be edified and built up. It'll cause others to see something in you that they desire. It'll cause others to see someone in you that they'll desire. And Ephesians 4:11-12 said, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He put in the church who He wanted, apostles and prophets. And folks, they're off the scene. We don't have any more apostles. We don't have any more prophets. The Word of God's complete. We don't need any more foretelling. We need to foretell, which is to testify. That's the work of the evangelist and the pastor-teacher. And pastor-teacher goes together in the Greek. It's not five different designations there in Ephesians 4:11. It's four. There's the prophets, the apostles, the evangelist, and then pastor-teacher is together. And so therefore, He gave them, He gifted men and gave them to the church, that the church may be edified, built up in the Lord, and come to perfection, being taught. May God help us in that sense. And of course, when He says to profit with all in chapter number 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. That word profit with all means to be advantageous together. And so God places us in the body so that we can be a strength and add to. I mean, if ever part of your body was an ear, all you do is hear, you'd never smell anything. Amen. I mean, you see. And if you all had hands, you wouldn't have any feet to get anywhere. Amen. And so He said, God put them together and lets them to work together in unity to profit with all, to be advantageous together. You ever done some work and you wished you had four hands? Somebody said today, was doing something. I said, you need four hands. He said, at least three. Amen. Well, I've been there, done that. Amen. But God gave us two. But what we got to have is somebody else. Sometimes the wall's too long to reach around the other side of the wall to put something together. You've got to have another man on the other side of the wall. Right? So you see, and God gives gifts that go together in the church so that we can profit with all, be advantageous together. And of course, the gifts, when we're talking about giving gifts in the Bible, there's three types of gifts you need to understand in the Bible. First of all, there's the sign gifts, the speaking gifts, and the serving gifts. All gifts in every area come under three categories: the sign gifts, the speaking gifts, and the serving gifts. And so let's break them down a little bit and look at the gifts that God gives man at birth and he wakes that up in a person and lets it be used for God's glory. They're sign gifts. Now, those sign gifts were given for the purpose to show and confirm the Word of God. These are miracles done to vindicate the person used in performance of these miracles, that his ministry came from God. For instance, in 1 John chapter number 3, there was a man, Nicodemus, was that not his name, who was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and the Bible said in John 3:2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You see, he had been watching at a distance, and Nicodemus wasn't a saved man. He didn't understand, even when Jesus said, you must be born again. Your first birth is not going to get you anywhere. Abraham's birth is not going to carry you into heaven. You're going to have to be born from above. But he knew there was something different about this man. Jesus had said he came from God. He performed many miracles, and when Nicodemus came to him, he said, we know. And of course, he's talking about himself, basically. We know you're a man sent from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And folks, that's what we realize, that's what that was a sign gift that Jesus did when he came and he healed and made the dumb to speak, the deaf man to hear, the blind man to see, the lame man to walk, and whatnot. There were sign gifts that there. Mark chapter 16, verse number 17 and 18, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to the church, And he said to them, and these signs, after he gave the commission, these signs shall follow them that believe. In thy name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, folks, a lot of people have taken those verses and not looked at it in context to realize one thing. Sign gifts are no longer needed today. They were until that which is perfect is come, the Word of God. And therefore, we don't need any more tongue speaking today. Three times in the Bible is all it was used. And that is the time, Acts chapter 2, and it was across the language barrier. And by the way, it was more a hearing miracle than it was a speaking miracle. I don't even believe the people even knew what they were, that they spoke in that language, that 15 different languages heard one distinct voice, like they learned it up on their mother's knee, like their Kentucky brogue or their Louisiana brogue, or Michigan brogue, amen, or England brogue, amen. Wouldn't matter. They heard it just like it was. That's what God made sure that every man heard, that God. Do you think that Peter and James and John and all them speaking at one time, I mean, have you ever been around a place where there's a bunch of talking and men are just as bad as the women, amen? But, and they're, blah, 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 and you say, tune into that if you can. You can't understand what's going on. And it's hard to zero in on any one person, isn't it? I mean, because about that time you hear something come out over there and you catch your attention and you go over there and then you've done lost where you're at. Well, listen, that day, 15 nations were mentioned in Acts chapter 2, and they heard exactly what was said with distinctness. They knew what was said that day. So it was a hearing miracle more than it was tongue. Acts 19, there was another time. There was a language barrier needed to be crossed. They spoke with other tongues. Acts chapter 10, there was a language barrier needed to be crossed, testifying of the saving grace of God, and they crossed that barrier. Three times is all it's ever used. And yet today, people are majoring on a minor. And by the way, that was a sign gift that's done away with. We don't need that anymore. Now, you may be speaking somewhere, I believe, with all my heart, and even though I was a lost man, I believe when I was preaching over in Jerusalem in the hotel over there, I remember that day, that night I was preaching, and they wasn't supposed to let anybody come into the cafeteria. We got there 30 minutes early. And they wasn't supposed to let anybody come in, and I don't know whether I was too long-winded or what it could have been, amen, but they let them come in, and it was a group from Italy, and it was a Catholic group is what they were, and they couldn't even speak English. Some of them couldn't, I don't know, but I'll tell you, when they come in, they got upset. The woman who was really in charge, she was the leader, she come up and tried to stop me, and somebody jumped up, and I didn't know what was going on. I just kept going. And so they tried to somebody stepped up between me and her and told her to sit down. But she was upset. I believe they heard something. Did I speak in a tongue? No, I didn't. If I did, I didn't know about it. Amen. It wasn't nothing to brag about. But I believe God forked it enough that somebody maybe had enough English or something. They got a hold of it. They got shook up about it, is what I'm saying. And of course, after that, it got on. I mean, some of the people with us were from Myrtle. And they got to shouting up and down the way. I never will forget that. Amen. A woman that y'all would know from Myrtle, if I could remind. But she shouted all the way up and shouted all over. Those people got all over the table and she'd wave her hand. Well, I'll not get into all that. But I'm saying, we don't know what God can do. He can do it again if He wants to. But it's still a sign gift. It's passed away. Now, I believe you're saved. You'll speak with a new tongue. Amen. I believe it'll change from an old cursing tongue. A little sweeter tongue. Might get caught with some things that slip out a time or two, but it'll change. It changes. Amen. But anyway, that's a sign gift. And he said, and talking about handling serpents and drinking any deadly thing. And this crowd that's handling copperheads and rattlesnakes and drinking poison. I tell you what, they've got room for rent in the Belfry. Amen. I mean, who was it? Wendy Bagwell said, where do they want a hole back around? He couldn't find the door. They brought out the rattlesnakes when they're singing. And he said, where do they want? He looked around and said, where do they want a door? I'd be wanting to get out of that place too, because that's a sign gift. Sign gifts in those days. Now, Paul, that actually happened in Acts. When Paul hit on the island of Miletus, is that where it was at? It fastened to his hand, and he just shook it off in the fire. They first thought he was a criminal because a snake reached out and bit him, a serpent. It was such a poisonous serpent that should have died like that. And when he didn't die, went about his business. They thought he was a god then. See, a sign gift to those people to authenticate the ministry of Paul. to those people, and it did that. And so, therefore, they're off the scene at this time. But those signs are for a wicked, an unbeliever, and a wicked generation, as Jesus Himself said in Matthew 16:4. He said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." And he talked about how he was 3 days and left in the heart of the earth and whatnot. So don't need another sign. But he said it's for a wicked generation. And that's what we do. If we're not careful, we'll want a sign. Want God to move a cloud to tell me I'm saved, like one man told me one day. Folks, I want to tell you what, the devil moves clouds. And clouds move whoever moves them. I mean, you know. Anyway, looking for signs and sign gifts, and they passed off the scene. I'll talk more about that away a minute. But then there's also not only sign gifts that God gives men, but speaking gifts. And speaking gifts are given for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel and edifying the church. Now, I know a lot of men in the world are using to persuade men to follow their agenda, or their politics, or this or that. But if God ever saves them and awakens them to that need and arrests them, or apprehends them, if you please, and saves them, they'll use it for that gift to persuade men the right direction. In fact, here it talks about, in our text verse we talked about here, where it said in verse number 6, he said, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." Now today, we don't have a prophet of foretelling. We prophesy in the sense of forthtelling, just telling what God's done for you. That's a gift of speaking, being able to testify and put in words what the Lord's done for you. Well, sometimes you've got it all planned out, what you're going to say, and then you get up and it's just all messed up. Anybody have a problem, man? You get on your feet, you forget what you're going to say. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember a time whenever I was our Sunday school class had elected a teacher, and we had to go tell the Sunday school superintendent what class is, intermediate class. And wanted to tell the Sunday school superintendent the teacher we elected in that morning in class. And so they chose me to go up front after church and in between church and Sunday school, you know, Sunday school and church, and tell the Sunday school superintendent. Now, mind you, we wasn't but about 40, 50 people there probably, but just to walk up there and tell him, he's probably on the front seat. Wasn't even in service, you see. And I was embarrassed to even go up there and tell him. I mean, it lacked up. It took all I could do, Brother Marty, to even go up there and tell him. Amen? Even go up there. And so you see, it's something God uses. I mean, He puts you together, gets you to meet people where it works on you. But it's still, the gifts are there. Speaking gifts. He also said in verse number 7, he said, "Or ministry, or teaching," the last part of it, "or he that teacheth on teaching." In other words, there's different things under this speaking gifts. That can be the ability to teach, the ability to preach, the ability to sing is a speaking gift, in a sense. An ability of exhortation, he talks about. I think he mentions that, verse 8, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation," exhorting one another. Some people would call that debating. Sometimes there's a debating going on, not the kind with anger, but standing up for what's right when you need to and doing it with the right kind of spirit. And it's not argument, but just debating. That's a gift. That's a gift for that. Or you can take the Scripture and talk to people and show them their error with Scripture, backing it up. That's a gift. Amen. That's not just a gift of gab either. Amen. It's a gift that God puts in there. Many men use it for speaking abilities across the country. You hear people talk about these politicians, how they make $30,000, $100,000 and all that for just a little old bitty short speech. Amen. And it hadn't got enough in it that's worth a flip inside it. Amen. I mean, you understand? But they're using a gift that God gave them for their own glory and for the furtherance of their own way. God put that there. God gave them that. God's good to every man. And He gave them gifts. May God arouse them, awaken them, and apprehend them that they might be saved, so that they can use that gift for the furtherance of the cause of Christ, to preach the gospel, to teach, speaking gift. Then the third gift is a serving gift. In other words, those gifts are given that we might serve one another and build up one another in the faith of the Lord Jesus. And that profits with all. That means advantageous together. In other words, he said there in verse number 8, the last part, "Let he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Verse number 7, the first part, "our ministry, let us wait on our ministry." Did you know the Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts of helps? Of helps? Now, people may not notice your gift, but who's the one keeping the record? Amen? You think about Paul let down the wall in a basket. I mean, those people that was there, I don't know about all that happened when he got away and got to preach all those other people in days to come. It's affected us because he wrote the 14 books of the New Testament. And there were some there never mentioned, but somebody had to hold the rope. Somebody weaved the basket. Somebody maybe watched the door. Somebody done this or that, you'd understand, but got together. They worked together and got Paul down the wall. And as a result, they'll share in rewards just as much as Paul did. Will one day at the judgment seat of Christ. See, you don't have to be the biggest bub in the basket, I guess you could say. Just be what God wants you to be. And you'll find when you exercise that gift, it'll grow on you. And you'll be able to do more for the cause of Christ, for the glory of God, and to edify the church. So there's sign gifts, there's speaking gifts, and there's serving gifts. Now I want to say this. Some of those gifts have passed away. They're gone. Sign gifts have passed away. Those primarily include tongues and healing. Now, you may ask, does God still perform miracles today? Oh, yeah, He still performs miracles. Amen. He's still the miracle-working God. Does God still, in other words, you say, does God still heal? Yes, He still heals. He is the great physician. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says it this way, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord, did you hear that? The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. It's not some man. It's not some man who calls himself a divine healer. He is the divine healer. And he's the one who raises a person. Now, only God can forgive sin. And only God can heal. He may use people to pray. He may use doctors and nurses and medicines and hospitals. But He's the great physician. Now, let me ask you a question. Which is the greatest miracle? To be healed of blindness or to be born again? Which is the greatest miracle? To be healed of deafness or be born again? I'll tell you, for a soul to be saved is better than fire falling from heaven. Any kind of sign gift. Amen. And so therefore, the Bible said in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What's the most important thing? You see, there will be signs given again in the end time. There was in the beginning, but there will be for the unbelieving Jew in the end time, which is a wicked nation. For example, signs will follow the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11, verse 6. It said, these meaning these two witnesses, have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. In other words, the Antichrist will be performing signs that day that will cause the unbelievers to follow him, but the saints will not follow him. We don't need a sign. I mean, we've got the Lord. We don't need those. That's for an unbelieving, wicked nation. Matthew 24:24 said, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, in case it wasn't possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The saints of God will not be deceived by these signs that the Antichrist will be producing that day. Now, there'll be a lot of Baptists deceived, but the elect won't be deceived. You understand? The saved won't be deceived. We don't need these sign gifts today, but many are desiring them and coveting them anyway. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That more excellent way is the way of charity that he outlines in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. In other words, that's which is God's love in action, demonstrated by speaking gifts and serving gifts. Not sign gifts, they're off the scene. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, he said, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. That which is perfect is the Word of God, and we don't need any more sign gifts today. Amen? We don't need those. We have the speaking gifts. We have the serving gifts that God gives in every person whom He saves. He gives them at birth, but He uses them for His glory, and He's graciously given them to us. And when we exercise these gifts, we recognize the gifts the Holy Spirit has given us, and we put them into use for God's glory. And that edifies the saints of God. May God help us to exercise the gifts He's given us and use them for His glory in the days to come. Father, I pray that you'd help us to see the work you've done for fallen man on the cross of Calvary. Help us to see the work you've done in man. You brought us to the end of ourselves. You're bringing some to the end of themselves, and you're doing that complete work of completed salvation in their hearts. And Lord, you put gifts inside them. And I pray you'd stir them up. Those gifts that are already there, some may be lying dormant. Some may not have even recognized all that they have. But help them to be recognize it and utilize them for God's glory in this body, that we may profit with all, be advantageous together in the days to come, that you might get glory. We'll thank you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. For His sake, we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, altars open. Will you mind the Lord?